And we are joined by now an 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All-Pro, and Bart Starr Man of the Year Award, which should not be lost in the shuffle because that's important, too. It's as important what you do off the field as you do on. And, of course, the most important honor of all, the Hall of Fame. Defensive back Aeneas Williams joins us right now. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here in Texas. I got in last night. Houston has been gracious host and looking forward to just an outstanding week and hopefully a great Super Bowl game.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that is good about this city and just everything I've seen so far is they had that first time through. They understood where they made mistakes, and now they are completely knocking it out of the park. Because so far, pretty much all reviews are in so far is, hey, the weather cooperated, but everything other than the weather has been fantastic.
And the entire setup to have a venue like this, you guys definitely do it big in Texas, right?
Right.
I don't know. This has to be. If this is not the biggest conference center in the country, it has to be one of them, I would think.
So first and foremost, you saw this is a big week for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. The new class will be announced. Your thoughts on, I mentioned the accolades, but going from that career where I'm sure at that time you were just focused on team and wins and the accolades came as they came, but when you started to put into perspective the fact that that beautiful piece of jewelry on your finger and that gold coat and that what it comes with it, when did you finally, after stopping playing, look back and say, look at your career and go, man, I could get this, and then actually when you got the call?
I don't know if I ever look back and say I can get this versus just people remember. The thing that I love when now I'm 49, I just turned 49 January 29th, when fans, grandparents, parents bring their children, bring their grandchildren up to you and just see you about, and they with smiles on their faces, and they remember the moments they had, how you played the game. Mm-hmm. All the accolades, all those things are good. There's a selection committee that decides that, in the grace of God, I got in. And there are a number of guys that should be in eventually get in. But when I think of that moment, I really think about, yes, I had a goal to be one of the best to play the game, but the focus was every day attention to details, preparing in the off season to be the best I could during the season, and then practicing with excellence every day during the week. So even as we talk about the Super Bowl, people say, well, what is it like to play in the Super Bowl? I share, and I'm quite sure the New England Patriots and hopefully Atlanta's approaching it the same way. All the Super Bowl is more people watching what you do every day. And anybody that gets anything past that, typically they get out of character and get out of what makes them successful.
Now, you still live in St. Louis, correct?
Yes.
Thoughts on the Rams move?
Well, when my wife and I were there, we're in Ferguson. My wife and I pastor a church, the Spirit Church, in Ferguson, Missouri. And being there, and also my role as senior advisor to the vice president of football operations with the league. So you kind of understand the business side of it. I just hate it for the fans as well as the workers that work for the team. And St. Louis is a city that can handle an NFL team. And hopefully at some point they'll get a chance to get another team.
Yeah, you look at it and you think the Cardinals and the hockey team, the Blues, do very well, and all those centrally located venues, you've got everything that you needed. And growing up in the Midwest, I know how important sports is to the culture and the fabric of cities, especially like St. Louis, like Chicago. You know, they can have some tough times. And I always say, it's just sports. It's not real life.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a distraction. It's not like that serious. But when you take something that serious out of the community, people don't realize the ramifications across the entire population.
Correct. And just understanding that, the thing I dislike about it the most is those young, impressionable fans. Because that's the crop of fans that are in these cities that are growing up, and they're going to decide sometimes, man, I'll never have my heart broken again. So I want to make sure we find some way as a league to have goodwill in some of these communities where we can win back the hearts of some of these people, that some of these fans that have just experienced what we call the business side of it, but also doing some things that will get them back re-engaged with the National Football League.
Now, in your playing career, you moved from cornerback to safety, free safety, right? How difficult was that move?
That's a great question. I like to use the example of Josh Norman. Josh being a shutdown corner, big contract with the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. Early in the season, if I'm not mistaken, they played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for some reason, he did not match up against Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown went off in that game. And I remember a lot of the media asking, this guy's paid all this money. Why is he not following the best receiver? So people would ask me that question because that's what I did. Well, one of the things you have to realize, and I don't know Josh, and Josh may be able to do this, and I could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. If I was guarding and covering Michael Irvin, I had to go everywhere Michael went. That includes out wide, in the slot, even when Shane Gailey put him in the backfield. Well, what comes with that responsibility is the ability to understand the defense. Because I can go from an outside corner position with a certain responsibility to now being in the slot on the receiver and have a totally different responsibility. And so I love coaches that figure out what do their players do best, regardless of how much you're paying them, and put them in the position to be successful. So when you ask me that question, what that transition was like, well, I never played the cornerback position just in a tunnel, like a number of shutdown corners. Okay, right. They take care of third of the field. They cover this one guy.
Right.
I was always thinking, because the best defenses are team defenses, and that's what New England does well. Malcolm Butler probably be matched up against Julio Jones. But it won't just be Malcolm Butler stopping him. It'll be the entire team being aware of where he is. And that's the difference. And that transition, the question you asked me, it was a lot easier because I understood the game, not just from a corner perspective, but from an overall defensive perspective, because the free safety is the quarterback on the defense. And so it's needful for that player to understand all the components of the defense.
Well, and we know you're here as well representing Kay Jewelers. And the one thing that I always notated when I saw you play, and I saw, again, I focused as much off the field sometimes as on the field when you spend as much time around sports and teams, and I know how much you cared about charitable contributions, giving back, doing things that mean something for the community, and I'll let you tell it, but what a great partnership to have you teamed up with someone like Kay Jewelers, because Kay Jewelers is focused on St. Jude's and trying to give back, and that's fantastic.
Well, the initial partnership that even allowed this week and this partnership that I'll highlight in a second was the partnership with the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and seeing Kay Jewelers be able to design just an outstanding ring of excellence.
It is beautiful.
But now their philanthropic arm to be able to partner with St. Jude Children's Hospital and research and be able to put millions of dollars into developing cures for diseases that young people should not have to deal with at a young age. So we want to inspire the fans out there to go to Twitter and go on Facebook and post a video where they're singing the K Jewelers jingle, "Every Kiss Begins with K," right? Because I'm going to encourage you guys to do that later. And here's what happens. When they do that and they post it, hashtag Sing for St. Jude donation, for every video posted, a $100 donation will be made to St. Jude, up to $50,000 total.
Can I do it a bunch?
You can do it as many times as you want. The other part is to remind the men, guess what else is coming up? Valentine's Day.
Yep. Yeah.
So men, to put a smile on their wives or significant others or daughters' faces, you go right to K.com and you order some of the beautiful jewelry that they have right there.
Yep.
But it's a great partnership, as I said, to be here. And just want to remind everyone, hashtag Sing for St. Jude donation.
It's fantastic.
You guys ready to sing the jingle?
I can do it right now because I could have done it. Nick was going to do it, but when you said you know what's coming up for guys, Nick thought his physical exam was on the calendar.
Is that what it was?
He was starting to get out of here, but then when you said it's actually Valentine's Day, he felt a little better because he doesn't have any responsibilities
with that. Well, we're going to sing this, y'all. We're going to record
let's
you. Ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's
whatever
put it
you want to do it.
You ready?
Here we go.
You ready, Nick?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
In 3, 2, 1.
Every kiss begins with K.
I was on pitch. I just want y'all to know that.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. This is men to boys. Exactly. We eventually may become boys to men, but for now.
Our voice box will develop a little bit.
Yeah, exactly right.
Point,
men
right?
to boys can also execute the master plan.
Now, I've got one more question for you before you go, because you kind of get credit, and I'm using air quotes, for having a part in ending Steve Young's career. Did that bother you? That was kind of the label that you got, and did you guys talk about it? I mean, it wasn't your fault that Mark Phillips missed the block, right?
No.
Not your fault.
I totally understand. That's a great question. I get the question all the time. So finally, when I see Steve at the Hall of Fame every time the induction, I finally said to Steve, I said, "Hey, I need your help." He said, "What's going on in this?" I said, "I need to record you, man. I need, because San Francisco 49ers fans, when they see me, they're blaming me for tearing up their dynasty because I hit you." And Steve said, "Aeneas, no, man. They need to know that was one of the best decisions of my life.
Oh.
I end up marrying my wife. I end up having these great children. And I didn't vacillate back and forth and stay in the game too long. And I have this great broadcasting career where he'd get paid these big checks." So I said, "Hey, Steve, would you put this on video?" So I video recorded. So now when the 49er fans come up to me, I just put out the video. I played a video. I said, hey, Steve has a message for you.
See, I would have just told him, blame Lawrence Phillips. He missed the block. That's not my bad. I did my job.
The other thing is, too, which you didn't have to deal with till basically, and it was just starting when you were at the end of your career. But the bottom line is, that was the both ends of the spectrum from social media. Because you get it in all the hatred and everything from people from social media. Right. But now the beauty of it is, you can now pull out your phone and go, come on, man. Here's Steve himself.
Exactly.
And it ends everything. It solves it all. That's fantastic.
That's the awesome thing about using social media in a great way
versus
in a negative way.
Now, you played against Brady, Super Bowl 36. Mm-hmm. Best quarterback of all time, in your opinion? If not, name him.
I hate to say in a current generation, the best quarterback of all times, but certainly, if not, the best in our generation.
Okay.
But all of these guys build on. His mentor or his idol was the great Joe Montana.
Yep.
What the current generation does, and I'm excited about, they build on these legacies and get the opportunity now to be in the advent of an offensive explosion. So it's a little different. They get a chance to call plays at the line of scrimmage, put their offense in the best position based on what they're seeing. Those guys didn't do that in the past. And that's what gives them advantage as it relates to the yards and the officiating the way it's done now. So I like to respect each generation, but give kudos to each game, each person that – puts together what I call excellence that benefits and blesses all of us.
Who was the toughest you went up against in terms of all of that?
I always get that, and I always say it's not the toughest. Everybody presented a unique challenge. That was the difference.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what. Tom Brady has an outstanding work ethic. They talk about that. I know this man also had a great work ethic. Hard work pays off. Aneas Williams has been our guest. Fantastic to have you on the show.
Thanks
Good luck.
Having
have a
me,
great
Joel.
Week.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thanks
we'll be back with much more right here on ESPN 97.5.